Welcome, dear friends, to the Message of Truth. We're delighted you're taking the time today to tune our way. We're going to be talking about this Christian character of boldness. It was the challenge to the apostles. It's a challenge to you and me today and to all believers to have boldness in a day of wickedness. And so we're going to be going over to 1 John chapter 4, verse 17 as our starting text. And then we'll get back to referring to Matthew chapter 28 and looking at the boldness that the Lord's promised us. But first, let's go to the Lord in prayer. And then we'll hear a good quality song and then to the Word of God. Father, I want to thank you for each of these who have taken the time to listen. May your Spirit move upon their hearts, meeting each and every need that they might have. And I pray that their rejoicing will be in thee and what thou hast done. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Oh, they tell me of a home far beyond the skies. Oh, they tell me of a home far away. Oh, they tell me of a home where no storm clouds rise. Oh, they tell me of an unclouded day.
They tell me of a home where my friends have gone. Oh, they tell me of that land far away, where the tree of life in eternal bloom sheds its fragrance through the unclouded day.
Oh, the land of cloudless day. They tell me of a home where no storm clouds rise. Oh, they tell me of an unclouded day. Oh, they tell me that he smiles on his children there, and his smile drives their sorrows away. And they tell me that no tears ever come again in that lovely land of unclouded day. Oh, the land of cloudless day. Oh, the land of an unclouded sky. Oh, they tell me of a home where no storm clouds rise. Oh, they tell me of an unclouded day. Sky. Oh, they tell me of a home where no storm clouds rise. Oh, they tell me of an unclouded day. Oh, they tell me of an unclouded day.
Amen. They tell me of an unclouded day. That day is coming when we'll be with the Lord. But in the meantime, we're in this nasty alley now. We're in the time that we need to have boldness to stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ in all situations. And so we're going to share some things with you. Again, our text, and go with me to 1 John and chapter 4 and verse 17. Herein is our love made perfect. And I believe if you look in the this book and count it out, there's something like 44 times that love is referred to in this book. But he says here is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment before, because as he is, so are we in this world. So that the boldness that we're talking about is not something you and I conjure up by special tactics or what have you. This is a boldness that comes from the Lord. And as we ended the program last time, we talked about Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. The Lord said, all power is given unto me. That is the same as boldness. All power to do the work that God has for you and me to do is given to us in Christ. So Christ has all the boldness that we need. So he said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore. Then he concludes that great commission in verse 20 by saying, and lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. And so he is with us. So since all the power is in him, I can rest assured that he will be with me the power and the boldness to do that which is needed to be done. We read so many times, and I have magazines and so forth in my study, and I have some books in my study of people who have taken the stand for Christ, have had to be fearless in their stand before the council, you know, whatever that council was, if it was communism or some kind of other ism, Muslim and what have you. They've taken the stand. They've stood for what they believe. You know, I often think of the, I believe it was 20 of those Coptic Christians in Egypt that was even declared across the news that they had their heads cut off for their stand for Christ. They wouldn't bow down before Islam, and they took the death instead of compromise. And what a testimony that is. Well, you know, that is something that you and I really, there might be a few people that would try to conjure that up and develop that in their life. But basically, that is not the nature of you and I. We'll do what we can to save our necks, you know, and maybe rightly so. But in this situation, they were willing to put their trust in the Lord. Though he slay me, as Job said, yet will I trust him. Job didn't understand why God allowed the trial, the testing, and the loss of everything that he had in his health-wise and so forth. But yet he would declare that God giveth and the Lord takes away. Naked came I into the world, naked shall I return. You see, in other words, I'm not going to take any of these earthly possessions with me. So I am going to stand for the Lord. Well, you find that constantly given here in the book of Acts. You recall after the day of Pentecost, I mean, the whole area is in uproar, especially the religious leaders, because here are these men, ignorant men, men that didn't have any degrees of academic proportion, but they're standing in the marketplace. They're talking, and 3,000 people in Acts chapter 2 come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior from the simple preaching of Peter and the other disciples. And this has caused a great, great ruckus, you know, among the religious leaders. This is not right. These are people that are calling upon the Lord Jesus Christ, that one, traitor or whatever they wanted to call him, and we crucified him, and now they're preaching that name, and people are getting saved. Yes, you see, that one that they crucified was the very Son of God. He was ordained to that end in 1 Peter chapter 1, before the foundation of the world. But the religious leaders were blind to the truth of God's word. And so these disciples now, emboldened because of the power of the Spirit of God, and that's something we should probably make mention of over in the book of Acts in chapter 1, verse 8, our Lord said to these disciples, and ye shall receive power, really literally, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. You see, ye shall receive power. In the book of Luke, in chapter 24, he said, tarry in Jerusalem till you be endued with power. In chapter 2 of Acts, and you read in the very beginning of the book, the people are gathered together in one accord, in one place, and they're praying. And verse 4 says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues. Now, don't get into a real tightness there. And some of our Pentecostal friends would get there and just jump up and down and say, he's talking about tongues. Well, if you go and study the balance of this chapter, you'll find they were speaking in the very language of the people who were there. Yet they were languages that the disciples did not know. They were languages that the people said, now here we we every man in our own tongue, verse 8, wherein we were born. And then it goes and names many of these people, and they say, what means this? So they pay attention, and Peter stands up with the 11. So there's 12 of them speaking in different areas. There's 3,000. They don't have an amplification system, and they are presenting the word of God, and these people are hearing it. And as a result, in the latter part, verses 42 through 47, you find that a multitude there, 3,000 souls get saved and are added to this body of believers. Well, you see, that has caused a real problem. And then in chapter 3, you have Peter and John going up to the temple, and here's this lame man, and they said, silver and gold have we none, but such as we have give we thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. The guy rose up and walked, and leaping and praising God. And boy, that messed up the whole temple, because he was excited about what God had done. You know, if there's anything we need today is excitement about what God has done. Not necessarily we have to do any kind of yelling and all that kind of thing, but get excited about it. I have some dear friends who are very excited about the Lord, and I sometimes say I wish I was as excited, although I am inside, but I don't demonstrate it as much out. But anyway, I mean, they are out there giving out the Word of God with the tracts. They are bold in sharing the Word of God. Well, that's what Peter and John did. Well, they are persecuted by the religious leaders. And so they're challenged not to preach in the name of Christ again, or not in the name of this person. And they basically say to them, and I'm paraphrasing this, in chapter 3 and 4, they're saying, you know, you be the judge. We cannot but preach and teach those things that we have seen. And they would talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, the uprising of the religious leaders in verse 4 of chapter 4 says that there were 5,000 men. The number of men, plus you add to that women and children. And you see, this is a great, great host that has come to the Lord. They've heard the word of God, and now they are rejoicing in the Lord. Well, come down to verse 14, or pardon me, 13 in chapter 4, and you'll find that Peter and John, after they are reprimanded by the religious leaders and so forth, they stand in that council of the Sanhedrin. Verse 13 says, now when they, that is the Sanhedrin, saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, means they didn't go to the local Bible college, you know, the Sanhedrin college, whatever you call it. They marveled at these men because they had great boldness, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Now, my friend, that is the answer. They had the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. What they saw in them, they saw in Peter and John, the kind of spirit that was in Jesus Christ, not a belligerent spirit, but a spirit of fearlessness. This is the word of God, and we're going to stand for this. Well, they are reprimanded, and they are let go. And in fact, the answer that Peter gives them, I had made reference to it, verse 19, Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you, that is, don't go and preach about this Jesus anymore, more than to God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Very simply, they're saying, you judge whether it's right to do wrong, to obey man and not God, or to obey God and not man. But we're going to do what God has called us to do, and we're going to speak forth the word of God. So when they had further threatened them in verse 21, they let them go. Well, they come to their company, and I want you to look, if you will, with me, that in verse 29, and now the Lord, and they're praying with their company of believers, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings. Grant unto thy servants that we may with all boldness, they may speak thy word. Grant unto thy servants that with all boldness, they may speak thy word. You see, they didn't ask to get protected. They didn't ask for anything else but just the boldness of the Lord. And they know it's the Lord that will do it. Verse 31 says, "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which they possessed was his own, but they had all things common." You see, my friend, these people, these disciples, they were certainly not men who had developed a great boldness to go forth and speak. They just simply did what God called them to do. And they realized that what they were doing when they were with the Lord Jesus Christ, he was persecuted constantly because he would tell the religious leaders the truth, that he was a stone which the builders rejected. And he would declare that I and my Father are one. But no matter what he said, no matter how he said it, they wanted to get rid of him. And when they demanded his crucifixion on the cross, they thought they had ended this one Jesus and his followers and his teaching and so forth. But all they did was fulfill the word of God in crucifying Christ. And Christ was able now, by his death on Calvary, his blood would cover all men of all sin, and all who would call upon him would have eternal life. Well, you see, they fulfilled God's will, although they did it ignorantly. And so this power that we're talking about is a power that is given by the Lord to his servants to serve him faithfully and be able to continue to serve him faithfully. Now, we're going to listen to a song, and we're going to come back to this boldness, and it comes through faith, and we're going to look at that. So if you will, listen to the song, prepare your heart, and we'll come back into the book of Acts.
Confess he reigns, lift up his name and praise us forever. Proclaim the glory of the Lord, make known his mighty deeds to all. Take up the call, let every nation know. He is our Messiah, our Savior and our King. Let all our voices join as one and fill the earth with singing. Glory to our God, his greatness we applaud. Let every race on earth shore proclaim the glory of the Lord. Proclaim the glory of the Lord, give honor to the Prince of Peace, for if we cease the stones will start shouting. Proclaim the glory of the Lord, with hands uplifted let us raise immortal praise to him who reigns on high. He is our Messiah, our Savior and our King. Let all our voices join as one and fill the earth with singing. Glory to our God, his greatness we applaud. Let every race on every shore proclaim the glory. Savior and our King, let all our voices join as one and fill the earth with singing. Glory to our God, his greatness we applaud. Let every race on every shore proclaim the glory.
And proclaim the glory of the Lord. That's the only message we have, dear friends. The solid message that Jesus Christ has given to us eternal life, and that life is worth proclaiming and sharing with others. And my, how many people today have been so faithful in sharing the good word of God. I think of many of these believers in hostile countries and how they go out and they'll hazard their life to carry the Bible out to people who have never had a copy of Scripture, maybe fortunate if they had even one page of Scripture. I know I've read of numerous people confined in prisons and somebody would smuggle in a piece or a page of the Scriptures, and those prisoners that had pen, paper, and pencil, they would write down those verses or those pages, and so that many people had that same page of Scripture, but they cherished that piece of paper and those words on there that came from the Lord. So we proclaim the glory of the Lord, no matter what the circumstances. It's our responsibility to proclaim it. Over in the book of Matthew, chapter 10, and I'm not going to take time to enumerate all these verses. You could start in verse 16 and go through verse number 42. And you'll find that this is the challenge or the commission that the Lord gave to his disciples before he gave what we call the Great Commission. Notice what he said in verse 16, and we'll just read a few verses here. But getting this setting for this matter of needing the boldness of the Lord to go out and proclaim the word. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men. For they will deliver you up to the council, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. And ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak. For it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of our Father which speaketh in you. Now, you take the time to read the balance of these verses, but you'll see Christ commission in the face of all kind of persecution. Look, if you will, just across the page, at least in my Bible, next column over, and in verse 30 it says, "But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore. Ye are of more value than many sparrows. He has already talked about the sparrows earlier. Whosoever, therefore, shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father, which is in heaven." So the Lord says, without a question, you and I, who know the Lord, will undoubtedly face this kind of persecution. And the point is that you and I don't right now prepare how we're going to face our enemies. Now, I tell you, we can prepare in the sense of memorizing Scripture and communicating with the Lord in prayer and getting prayer to be an integral part of our lives so that when we are under that persecution, we can pray. We are not afraid to pray, and we know that the Lord hears us when we do pray. But if we've committed to memory Scripture, many Scriptures, memorizing them each day or each week, however it works for you and me, we need to memorize Scripture so that when we are in that situation where they will not allow us to have a Bible, we can still be encouraging other believers with the Word of God, and they are likewise encouraging us. And so this is the power, this is the thing that we need. Now, we have talked to you about the fact that we're talking about this boldness which comes from faith. And by the way, you will develop that faith, as I say, in memorizing the Word of God and in constant daily prayer, sincere prayer before the Lord. Now, it is the responsibility of you and me to be seeking the face of the Lord. Notice in Acts chapter 2, and I think this is such a wonderful passage. In verse 1, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Then suddenly there came a sound from heaven's a rushing mighty wind. It's not going to necessarily happen to us. I mean, this is a once and done deal because the Holy Spirit of God had not been within them. He had influenced them. He had directed them. Now he would indwell in them. And suddenly there came from a sound from heaven, a rushing mighty wind. It says, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. Note that, like as of fire. And it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They were being prepared by God to go out and address this multitude of Jews from all over the world. They had come there to worship. They had come there for their devotion to the Lord and for the day of Pentecost. And they came there to Jerusalem, and God was going to reach them. Now, beloved, I want to tell you this. God is able to reach people. He's able to do in people's hearts and minds what he desires to have done now. And so he gave them the ability to speak. We don't have any indication that they ever spoke in any of those languages again. But God gave them the languages of the people who were present so that they might present Christ to them. And it was this very element, the boldness of Peter. Remember, Peter was an old fisherman, rough cloth fisherman. John and James and Andrew likewise. And then others in various other vocations, but nobody there trained as a preacher. But now 12 of them standing up and declaring the word of God in the language of the people who are present. What a great testimony this is of God's power upon people. You see, they believed God that he would endue them with power to carry out his word. And he did exactly that. My friend, that's exactly what he wants to do with you and me. He wants to give us the power to go forth. But if we don't go out and try to witness for him, how will he give you or me that power? He won't. That power is for you and for me to go forth and declare his word to a lost and dying world that they might be saved. Father, may we have the boldness to declare your precious and holy name to all the people that we meet, whether it be at a quick passing and giving out of a tract or witnessing that you might be glorified. And we'll thank you for what is accomplished in Jesus' name. Now, beloved, if we might be of help to you, you could email us at WOT@WOTBM.org. Or you can send in a hard mail, and that would be Message of Truth, 315 40th Street, Altoona, Pennsylvania, 16602, USA. God bless you.